Welcome, everybody, to Out of Bounds. I'm your host, Jay Henson. I'm coming to you live from the WNSR studios. On this podcast, we'll be talking about what's going on from around the sports, from the NBA to the MLB. I'll have you covered. Hey, if you got to watch the first week of AAF, you'll get to hopefully watch the second week because they got some good games coming up this weekend. As first game will be tomorrow at 1 p.m. on TNT. We got the Salt Lake Stallions 0-1 on the season, taking on the Birmingham Iron, who are 1-0. It'll be tomorrow 1 o'clock on TNT. A little preview of this one: Stallions will be monitoring the hamstring injury suffered by quarterback Josh Woodrum near the end of the first half of Sunday's loss to Arizona. Woodrum completed 10 of 22 passes for 103 yards, while replacement Matt Linehan, son of former Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator Scott Linehan, was 7 of 13 for 56 yards. Both quarterbacks had one touchdown and one interception. The Irons shut out Memphis 26-0 on Sunday and limited the Express to only 202 yards of total offense, as they only averaged about 3.7 yards a play and 2 for 10 on third downs. They also received strong quarterback play from Division II quarterback Luis Perez, who was 19 of 33 for 252 yards. Altogether, I thought the Stallions hung in there with Arizona, even though Arizona ended up winning by 2 touchdowns. I still feel like the Stallions have a really good team. Even if Woodrum is hurt, I think Linehan is a very good backup, and I think he'll definitely help the Stallions this season. Birmingham has a really good defense. The offense looked good, but it was 9-0 going into the fourth, so I think the Express's defense just kind of broke down there at the end. So if I'm the Iron, they've got to step it up just a little bit on offense, start off strong. But this game is going to be in Birmingham, and I like the Iron. I'm going to pick Iron 26-23 over the Stallions. The Arizona Hotshots 1-0 on the season. They travel just southwest of here to Memphis, as they'll take on the Express, or 0-1. That'll be tomorrow at 7 p.m. on the NFL Network. While Arizona coach Rick Neuheisel couldn't have been happier after the performance of quarterback John Wolford and Sunday's win over Salt Lake, Express head coach Mike Singletary will be in evaluation mode this week after Christian Hackenberg completed 10 of 23 passes for 87 yards with an interception against Birmingham and was replaced late in the game by Brandon Silvers, who was only 3 of 4 for 23 yards, and that one incompletion was actually an interception on his first throw of the game. Two bright spots for the Express, however, were running back former Vanderbilt Commodore Zach Stacy, who had 12 attempts for 57 yards, and linebacker DeMarcus Gates, who totaled 11 tackles and added 2 forced fumbles. Arizona outscored Salt Lake 19-6 in the second half of a 38-22 win as Walford built on an 8 of 15, 124-yard number in the first half by completing 10 of 14 passes for 151 yards in the final two quarters. His confidence and moxie grew as he also contributed 25 yards on 6 runs. The duo of Walford to wide receiver Rashad Ross, who had 5 catches for 103 yards, 2 touchdowns, will be a handful for defenses. Running back Drell Presley totaled 94 yards from scrimmage, including 64 yards rushing, with a long of 25 on 18 attempts and a 30-yard receiving touchdown. Linebacker Steven Jackson had 7 tackles and an interception to lead the defense for the Hotshots. The Hotshots have a really good – I think this is one of the best teams, if not the best team out of the 8. Even though they may not have that one player that you're like, oh, I remember him from college, or I remember this guy from college, or whichever, I feel like they have the best overall team from what I've seen. But be their first road matchup, and Memphis will have their first home game. So we'll see what happens. I think it'll be a good ball game, but I like the Hotshots late. I think Express will get on the scoreboard this time, but I like the Hotshots 35-21 in this one. The Orlando Apollos, the old ball coach of Steve Spurrier, traveled to San Antonio to take on the Commanders. As both teams are 1-0 on the season, this game will be the first game on Sunday at 3 p.m. on the CBS Sports Network. Each of these home teams allowed just 2 field goals in their season openers, and now the Apollos head to the Alamo Dome for their first road challenge. Orlando quarterback Garrett Gilbert completed 15 of 25 passes for 227 yards and two touchdowns for a passer rating of 116.6 against Atlanta, and also scored on a 5-yard pass from wide receiver Jalen Marshall. Marshall scored on a 26-yard pass from Gilbert. Almost overshadowed by Gilbert's play and the 40 points the Apollos put on the board was running back Akeem Hunt, who rushed for 73 yards on 10 attempts with a long of 31. The Commanders will have to be wary of Orlando linebacker Terrence Garvin, who had 11 tackles with one for loss to go with two interceptions that included a pick six that was a 51-yard return. San Antonio brought constant pressure on San Diego quarterback Mike Bercovici, who was sacked six times in the Commanders' 15-6 win. If everybody remembers, Bercovici was the one that got plastered by a defensive lineman for the Commanders and his helmet popped off. And, of course, everybody knows if that hit happened in the NFL or college, more than likely it's targeting and heading, you know, he's gone for a game and a heavy fine in the NFL. But in this league, that was okay. And so that's what's going to make this league exciting. So that was a really good thing to see the other day. Even though, I mean, Bercovici was okay, obviously. That was the number one thing. But either way, similar to Garvin, San Antonio has a big play linebacker of its own. Sean Washington had two of the team's six sacks while adding two quarterback hits, a forced fumble, and a tackle for loss in the running game. There is a potential battle of quarterbacks between Gilbert and San Antonio's Logan Woodside. Woodside's night against San Diego was hurt by two interceptions, but he did pass for 255 yards, 13 of his 18 completions, and 223 of his 255 went to wide receivers Mikael McKay, who was 5 catches for 80 yards, Greg Ward Jr., 5 for 65, and Alonzo Moore had 3 catches for 78 yards. My pick on this one, I like the Apollos 32-28 in a shootout down in Texas, so that should be a really good ball game come on Sunday. And then Sunday night, we got the Atlanta Legends traveling across the country to San Diego to take on the Fleet, both teams 0-1 on the season. This game will be Sunday night at 7 on the NFL Network. It didn't take long for Fleet head coach Mike Martz to switch from Mike Bercovici to quarterback Philip Nelson. Bercovici was sacked six times and intercepted twice before being replaced by Nelson in the second half. Martz had been hopefully Bercovici would be better, or had been hopeful that he'd be better and his system faster, but went to Nelson, who had coached in the NFLPA Collegiate All-Star Game 2 years ago. Martz affirmed that Nelson would start in week two against the Legends. It's hoped that center Jeremiah Colon, who was inactive Saturday, might be able to play this week with an ankle injury only days before the game, but he did have an ankle injury, and he more than likely won't play, but there's still a possibility that he could. Defensively, the Fleet got a strong game from defensive end DeMontre Moore. He had 10 tackles with one for loss, 1.5 sacks, and 6 quarterback hits. Neither San Diego or Atlanta were able to score touchdowns in their opening losses. Atlanta totaled 67 yards on its opening possession against Orlando and took an early 3-0 lead. However, on their next 8 possessions, they gained just 99 yards on 39 plays. Quarterback Matt Sims, a former Tennessee Vol, who completed his first 4 passes of the game for 52 yards, connected on 11 of his next 24 for 74 yards before giving way to Aaron Murray for the final possession of the game. My pick in this one, I like the Fleet. I feel like their offense will come together at home and against the Legends, and I like them to win 24-12 in that one on Sunday night. But once again, the week two looks like this. The Stallions of Salt Lake travel to Birmingham to take on the Iron. That one's on Saturday at 1 p.m. on TNT. The Arizona Hotshots travel to Memphis to take on the Express tomorrow night at 7 p.m. on the NFL Network. The Orlando Apollos will travel to San Antonio to take on the Commanders on Sunday at 3 on the CBS Sports Network. And finally, Atlanta Legends travel to San Diego to take on the Fleet Sunday night at 7 on the NFL Network. Now, tune our attention over to college basketball. Number 1 Tennessee defeated South Carolina 85-73 the other night. South Carolina couldn't miss from three-point range and still couldn't put up much of a challenge against number 1 Tennessee. Admiral Schofield had 21 points and 10 rebounds as the Vols defeated South Carolina 85-73 on Wednesday for their school record 19th consecutive win. South Carolina is now 12-12, but they're 7-4 in the SEC, made a season-high 14 three-pointers, and they shot 61% from behind the arc, but still trailed by double digits throughout the last 28.5 minutes. Tennessee, now 23-1, owns the longest active winning streak of any active Division I team and is 11-0 in SEC competition for the first time in school history. The Vols' high-powered offense assured that Tennessee would keep its winning streak going. Tennessee shot 9 of 20 from 3 and had 5 players score in double figures. Jordan Bowden scored 16 points for Tennessee. Kyle Alexander, Jordan Bone, and Lamonte Turner added 10 points each. Grant Williams, however, had an off night scoring. He only had 8 points, but he did have 9 rebounds and 7 assists with only 1 turnover. The Vols are about to enter the toughest stretch of their schedule. The 3 of their next 4 games are away from home, including tomorrow night's game. It'll be game day at 7 o'clock at Kentucky. The number 5 team, number 5 Wildcats, coming off that big loss to LSU back on Monday or Tuesday. And they'll travel to number 19 LSU next Saturday, will the Vols. And that'll be even a bigger game if they can get by Kentucky. Tennessee hasn't faced a ranked team since December 9th, when they beat the number 3 ranked Gonzaga Bulldogs, which were ranked number 1 at the time. But the Vols will travel to Kentucky tomorrow in a big matchup at 7, that game on ESPN. You cannot overlook this Wildcat team, even though they lost to LSU by a tip-in. And according to a lot of people, it should have been goaltending. I thought the ball was up off the rim, but supposedly there's a new rule now that if it's even above the rim, you can't tip it. I don't know. But either way, big win for LSU. Unlucky there for the Wildcats. But they'll be ready for Tennessee, and Tennessee better be ready for them when they go up there tomorrow night. And Florida took on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt once again loses their 12th straight in their 0-11 in the SEC, losing to Florida 66-57. Keontae Johnson had 15 points, 9 rebounds, and came up with a big steal in the closing minutes, lifting Florida to a 66-57 win over Vanderbilt. Aaron Nesmith led Vanderbilt with 26 points, but it wasn't enough for the Commodores to avoid their 12th straight loss. Vanderbilt led 33-31 at the break, but was unable to carry that momentum into the second half, shooting just 27 from the field, 27%, and just under 8% from 3. They were 1 of 13 in the second half. They were 1 of 13 from 3 in the second half and 27% from the field. There's a lot of bunnies they missed the other night, and you know, those are not winning combinations, that and turning it over. They had 19 turnovers to 9 assists, but they did do good at the free throw line. They were 76%. I thought they did a lot better at the free throw stripe, but if it's not one thing, it's another, and so on and so forth. And it's just they just can't get out of this funk that they have. They've had for about 2 months now. Vandy's 12-game skid's the longest losing streak since losing 14 in a row over the 1934-35 through 1935-36 seasons. Vandy returns home tomorrow to take on the Auburn Tigers. Early start, 11 a.m. at Memorial Gym on ESPNU. Auburn's coming in. They're on a 3-game losing streak. They're looking to try and get that bad taste out of their mouth, and you know they're going to give Vandy all they can handle. And Vandy's got a counterpunch with them. So, it's, you know, I feel like if Vandy can – you know, get rebounds, don't give Auburn second, third, fourth chances, you know, and I think they can get whatever they want on the offensive end. Defensively, Auburn loves to shoot three, so if you can, you know, that's been one thing for Vandy this year, that they have not been a very good three-point defending team, and if they can do that well tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, I feel like they'll be all right, especially with these early morning games. You never know what's going to happen in them. A little update with the standings. Tennessee's at 11-0. LSU at 10-1, and Kentucky at 9-2. That's 1, 2, and 3. Ole Miss and South Carolina tied for 4th. Alabama is 5th. Auburn, Florida, Mississippi State, and Arkansas all in 6th. Missouri is in 10th. Texas A&M is in 12th. Missouri and Texas A&M 11th. Then Georgia's 13th at 1-10, and then Vanderbilt is on 11 at 14th. Once again, tomorrow's schedule looks like this. Auburn at Vanderbilt at 11 a.m. on ESPNU. A&M at South Carolina. That'll be tomorrow on the SEC Network starting at noon. At 1 o'clock after the Vandy game, it'll be Florida at Alabama on ESPNU. Missouri at Ole Miss on Saturday at 2:30 on the SEC Network. Number 19 at LSU at Georgia. That game at 5 on the SEC Network. Number 1 Tennessee at number 5 Kentucky tomorrow at 7 on ESPN. And Mississippi State at Arkansas at 7:30 on the SEC Network. So a lot of games. If you just want to chill in, if it's a rainy day tomorrow, just chill in and check out ESPNU, SEC Network, and the ESPN. So should be a lot of good basketball tomorrow during from morning to night. So it's an all-day affair. Get you some grub, chill, and watch you some basketball. And if you're not interested in that, check out the AAF tomorrow starting at 3 o'clock. All right, the Spurs took on the Grizzlies this past Tuesday, and Spurs come away with a 108-107 win. LaMarcus Aldridge scored 22 points, including San Antonio's final seven, as the Spurs broke a four-game slide with a 108-107 win over the Memphis Grizzlies on Tuesday. Avery Bradley, who led Memphis with a career-high 33 points, scored on a 16-footer with just under four to go for a 102-101 Memphis lead. Aldridge would then score on a tip-in and an eight-footer followed by a short hook to put San Antonio ahead to stay as the Grizzlies fell to 23-35. And then two nights ago, the Bulls and the Grizz took on each other and up in Chicago, and it was a good game back and forth, but then the fourth quarter came and the Grizzlies just kind of wilted at the end, as the Bulls won 122 over 110 to the Grizzlies. Otto Porter Jr. scored a career-high 37 points on 16 of 20 shooting. Robin Lopez added season-high 25 points, and the Bulls beat the Grizz, who are now 23-36. Avery Bradley scored 15 points for the Grizzlies, who lost for the second straight night. Mike Conley was back in the Grizzlies lineup after missing Tuesday's 108-107 loss to the Spurs with an illness, but he did finish with 12 points the other night. But this weekend and during next week, it's in an NBA All-Star weekend. That means a week off of games and for some rest, definitely. And the Grizzlies return to action next Friday night as they'll host the LA Clippers at the FedEx Forum. But last but not least, talk a little bit of Preds action here. Preds on Tuesday night at Bridgestone got beat by the Red Wings 3-2. Nashville were unable to find the equalizer in the third period and fell to the Red Wings by a 3-2 final. And it was Nashville's third consecutive loss overall, with the Red Wings sweeping the two-game season series, much like Sunday afternoon's 5-4 overtime. And, the loss there to St. Louis, it looked just like it. I mean, it was a back-and-forth game. Preds couldn't get anything going offensively, or they could get things offensively, just couldn't, get a stop on defense. But the Predators had their opportunities and even scored on a power play, which is shocking. But it was Detroit who got the bounces and ended up on the right side of the scoreboard when it was all over with. And then last night, the Preds hosted the Canadiens from Montreal. There was plenty to love on Valentine's Day in Nashville on Thursday night. Brian Boyle scored his first goal in gold, and Pekka Rinne made 35 saves out of 35 shots as the Predators defeated the Montreal Canadiens 3-1 at Bridgestone. The victory snaps a three-game skid for the Preds and gives them a season sweep over the Canadiens. Thursday's outing saw the Predators get off to a hot start once more, and after the lull in the second period, the group responded with two goals in the game's final 20 minutes to get back in the win column. Midway through the second, Ryan Hartman ended a 27-game goalless drought as he created a turnover in neutral ice and then backhanded a Craig Smith rebound past Casey Price. Hartman finally got the monkey off his back. I don't know why I typed Monday, but monkey off of his back, and chucked it into the crowd following the goal while breathing a sigh of relief. Brian Boyle slapped home his first with the Preds, and Victor Arvidsson continued his torrid streak as he gave the Preds some insurance by finishing off a nifty passing play with 9 minutes to go in the final frame. Arvidsson now has 12 goals in his last 13 games and has 18 goals since New Year's Eve, which leads the entire NHL. The losing streak was only three games, but as Hartman said, it was three games too many. With their three-game homestand now complete, Predators will head on the road for two, beginning tomorrow night in Las Vegas, where they'll meet the Golden Knights before heading to Dallas early next week. And Vegas has been coming on strong. So, you know, the Preds can't go over there and, you know, not play to their best ability due to the fact that, you know, Vegas, I think they're 34-18-9, if my math's correct or my memory's correct. And they've got a really good squad. It's definitely at home. And Preds got to come in there and get ready to go. They did beat them there before, earlier in the season, not too many weeks ago. But definitely need to get a big win and stay pat with the Jets and keep the point spread with St. Louis and Dallas Stars to 10 like it is right now. The Jets are 2 points ahead of the Predators at 75-73. The St. Louis Blues is at 63, tied with the Stars, also at 63. Minnesota is at 59, and the Avalanche and Blackhawks rearing up the rear at 57. But the Central's starting to get a little bit closer than usual. Only 18 points separate Winnipeg and Chicago, and then Nashville is just right there in second place. And right now, they are in the number three spot in the playoffs race as we speak. But if you want to know any more about Predators and anything in general about Smashville, check out Predneck Nation on Twitter at Predneck Nation and go to PredneckNation.com. All you got to do, check out my dude, Captain Crazy Charlie Sonia, as he'll get you all set up and ready to go for any Preds game, every Preds game, every morning from 5 to 6 on National Sports Radio. All you got to do, get the WNSR app. And go to SoundCloud, go to iTunes, and you'll check out Predneck Nation and all the past shows as well. And the Renegades of Puck, you know, you gotta have those guys with Charlie. That makes it even better. Ultimate Predator, the man so far in the future, Greg Mostradamus Michopoulos, and Brandon Felder. They'll all bring you everything you need to know about the Preds on game days from 5 to 6 each morning. And some days we do an encore after the Johnny Ballpark Frank show. All right, hope everybody enjoyed the show. I'll be back on Monday to recap what happened during the weekend with the AAF, Vanderbilt, Tennessee. Vandy baseball starts tonight and this weekend, their first series. I forgot to mention that. They'll play tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday in the MLB 4 showcase in Arizona. So definitely check that out. Check me out on Facebook and Twitter, on Facebook at Jay Henson, and look me up on Twitter at Jay Henson Sports. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see everybody on Monday as you've been listening to Out of Bounds.